Welcome to Why So Weekend, WYSO's weekly radio magazine. I'm Jerry Kenny. Thanks for joining us. Coming up on today's program, Emily McCord with Politics Ohio. Also, another in our road trip series. WYSO's Wayne Baker speaks with Yellow Springs resident Jonas Bender, who was recently awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. That's coming up later in the program. But first, day two of the Village Fam Summer Jam Festival takes place today in Yellow Springs. Earlier this week, the Village Fam and beatboxer Erratic stopped by the WYSO studios for a little conversation with Nikki Dakota and a couple of performances that sent WYSO staffers running to the studios to see what was going on.
But you guys are on the verge of a pretty cool event here in Yellow Springs, and all five of you will be on stage this Saturday and Sunday, right?
Yes, yes, correct.
And it's the Village Fam Summer Jam, and this is really a pretty cool event right here in Yellow Springs, right on the Antioch College campus at the outdoor amphitheater that's put together for you guys.
Yes.
How about we
organized it, you know, and it's going to be a blast. We hope to see everybody out there. It's going to be a fun time.
A fun time, and you can come on in. There's an admission to get into the amphitheater itself, but not to come to the sort of festival.
Right, free parking, free admission to the park. The actual amphitheater will cost $5 to get in
to see
the music, but it's worth it.
Is that for both days?
Yes.
Nice.
I mean, it's $5 per day.
Okay, but still.
That's for nine bands.
What a deal.
Nine bands.
Wow. Are the same nine bands playing both days?
Yes.
Nice. So that's DJ's Scratchmatic as well as Tino. It's Lover Drugs, which is a kind of rock funk band from right here in town. Great reggae group. I love Soul Rebel. They'll be there as well as Grey Market. We've got beatboxer Erratic in the house today as well. First of all, I want to welcome. Thanks, Erratic, for being here.
Hello. It's so nice to be here.
And you're part of this great event. And you're going to be doing a little beatboxing for us in just a minute. Also, I got a chance to listen online to Jillia, who's going to be singing as well, and that's in addition to your performance, Village Fam, live in the studio here on WYSO. Tell me about how you guys all got together.
Well, to tell the truth, we all started back in high school. We formed the group in high school, and it was called Isolated Union. Then basically that went through, and then in college I met my friend Merck, and he was a freestyler, which is like off top of the head rap. And basically we came back to Yellow Springs, and I got the people that I grew up with in Yellow Springs, and we just formed Village Fam. And it was just amazing, you know. It was absolutely just unbelievable.
I saw the video online and was pretty blown away. Clearly a lot of people have come together to get involved in helping you guys make this art. Tell me about making that video. I'm like, hey, look, that's Peaches. Oh, hey, look. I'm like recognizing all these things.
Well, we wanted to do something like that shows Yellow Springs good. So we went downtown. We got a couple shots, night shots and day shots. And David right here. He shot the video.
Day-Day, who's in the house shooting video as we speak.
Yes.
And then we put together something good for Yellow Springs to show that where we're from.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you that, so I was all stoked and was listening to it, and there's profanity in that version. So whereas I was thinking I could play it, it turns out I couldn't. But you guys went this extra mile, and you have created for YSO completely clean version
of
the song.
Yes, clean version. No cussing.
It's a great song. I mean, either way. It holds up.
Definitely, man. Yeah.
Is there anything, little snippet you could give us, a little live performance of?
We always got something for y'all, you know what I'm saying?
This is Merck stepping up to the mic here.
Yes, sir. Village Fam, we on a mission, let's go and get it. I'm on it pimping. V's up when we in attendance, just keep it real if you in your sentence. Going hard since I remember, preheating the fall, make it hot December. We all trying to eat what you got for dinner, nobody's winning if we not the winners. Cast the first stone if you not the center. People killed me, so condescending. Last time that I checked, we all dissing dirt, we all dissing wrong. Before what it's worth, we made this song. I can't change the past, but I'ma write my wrongs. It feels so good when the mic is on. The stage is right, the light is on. Ignite the throne through my microphone. I got Chardonnay in my styrofoam, and these shades won't stay in my eyes zone. It's V's up, cause that's where I belong. These streets all out of my pocket strong. It got me gone. I be on my way to the astronaut pilot zone. But look, I hope I see you when I get on. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little sample
from the Village
the
fam.
The Will of Wind, the drop in the fall.
That's acapella. That's on top of the head right there, too.
I like it. I do like it when the mic is on, too.
Oh, yeah.
Right there with you.
Most definitely appreciate that.
We got Village Fam live in the studio. They're going to be a part of the Village Fam Summer Jam this Saturday and Sunday nights. I don't have on my sheet here what time the festivities kick off.
Yeah, we have hopefully more than 50 vendors out both days, so it's going to be a great night, you know what I'm saying? Adult beverages as well. Bring the family out. It's going to be a good time all day long, 2 days straight. So if you have nothing else to do, make sure you're out there at Antioch Theater. So
yeah, Amphitheater. At Sunday, it starts at 1 until 7 on Sunday.
7 p.m.
Yeah,
because
we know everybody has to work on Monday. So.
Hello. I'm so glad you're here. I would like to take a second with Erratic, who's going to be performing as well. You are a human percussion instrument.
Yeah, pretty much. I just open my mouth and noise comes out. It's the best thing ever.
Was it always that way?
Yeah.
To your mom,
a little bit. I was just that weird kid in middle school and growing up even and on, just making noises. And then I kind of figured out how to put it all together, and well, here I am.
Yeah. So, when was your first sort of performance? When did you recognize that you had a presentation here?
Well, I think, it was probably, maybe seventh grade, they had a talent show, and I had a friend who also beatboxed a little bit, and he asked a bunch of other people to do it with him, and nobody else could do it well, and then he found me. He was like, "Hey, you want to beatbox with me?" I was like, "All right,
and all right.
Why not?" Bam, and it was just an explosion of sound and awesomeness.
How fun. So you're always walking around. I always feel bad for, these people lugging their amps and their guitars, and they have to make several tricks back and forth, and you're like, "I'm here, ready to go."
Always.
Erratic, would you mind giving us a little sample of your wear?
Sure thing. And just by the way, everybody, this is all straight from the mouth. Yeah, Erratic.
And have trouble figuring out where to breathe when I'm just talking normally. I can't even imagine. So, when you're working it out, you have to allow for breathing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have an inward snare, and that's kind of my breath in. Or sometimes I just sneak in little,
right.
little quick breaths in between fast beats and stuff.
I love it. I remember when I first heard Paul Simon's Graceland, and they do that. Somebody said, and it took me, I spent a week working on that so I could do it. And that's that times 100. We're live in studio with Erratic, the human beatbox right there. Also, Village Fam is live in the studio. It's all part of the Village Fam Summer Jam taking place 1 to 7 on Sunday. So, What would be your greatest hope? What if you could pick what was going to happen to you next? What next project you would take? Where would you guys point your direction?
Well, hopefully we just want to expand a little more and maybe be little more broad in our look and do some collaborations with some different genres of music, maybe some rock, techno. You know, we don't want to just be boxed in to one sound. You know, we definitely want to just be, you know, just like Yellow Springs is a diverse place, we want to be a reflection of that diversity as well in our music. So I would say that's our next big goal, and hopefully we'll see what happens from there.
It's to evolve.
Yeah. Just keep moving upward. You know.
What will we see on stage this weekend? What will it look like?
Oh, man, hopefully you see the best performance that you've ever seen.
Ever seen.
We
want to bring energy, great music, you know what I'm saying, crowd participation. We just want everybody to come out there and have a good time. So hopefully if everybody come out, man, we're going to make it the best weekend of your life. Yes. We're going to do all we can to give y'all a good show.
Yes, man. We've been working hard for this moment, so we don't want to let the fans down at all, man.
That's great.
I'm going to make sure it's loud, for sure.
That was erratic chiming in there. So thanks again, by the way, for making a radio-friendly copy of this tune. We're going to hear
No doubt, no doubt.
Yeah, and keep me posted. I'm just delighted. You guys really got a good thing going, and you sound real good, too.
Definitely.
Thank you.
If someone wanted to find out more, do you guys have a website or something on Facebook, or where could people... connect online to what
we have
doing.
Facebook, just type in Village Fam, hit the like button, you can follow us. We have all our new music, pictures, all our concert dates on there. We also have a Twitter, just Village Fam at Twitter.
All right.
And then we have Bandcamp, this Village Fam Bandcamp.com. So you can check us out there.
Check us out on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
We're on YouTube.
YouTube.com / The Village Fam.
Just Google us.
Yeah.
Just Google. What's your,
how can we get...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Also, I'm on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/ A Radical Beats.
A Radical Beats.
Or I'm on YouTube also. Erratic Beats on YouTube.
Very good. You'll keep me posted with what you're doing too, right? Do you play? Do you perform with others often? Is that a part of your repertoire? Are you kind of a one-man situation?
I mean, I have other beatbox friends, and sometimes if I find them, we go to open mics and places.
Fun.
And or run into these guys, and hey, let's do something together. You know, freestyle. I'll just give a beat, and then they'll start just jumping in with freestyles.
That's like perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all from right there. It's right there in you in the moment. You guys record that sometimes, don't you?
Yes.
I hope.
We got plans to bring them to the studios. Maybe after this, we'll go to the studio.
Great.
Yeah, look forward to some projects with Erratic in the future.
Very good.
Definitely.
Big East,
yes.
Thanks so much for coming. Merck, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And
Ace Tugs, you guys
thanks for having
us. You bet. My pleasure.
Short notice.
Here it is. Yeah, you bet. Good luck this weekend. Again, the event is Saturday and Sunday at the Antioch College Outdoor Amphitheater right here in Yellow Springs. We'll put that up on our Facebook as well on WYSO.org. Here it is. Thanks for writing a song about the village.
No doubt. It's going to be a blast. Everybody come out.
Peace up.
All I know is the village. 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 All I know is the village.
They ain't talking about nothing. Everything go ahead, cool. V's up all day. I don't know about you. They ain't talking about nothing. Everything go ahead, cool. V's up all day. I don't know about you.
You're listening to WYSO Weekend on WYSO. I'm Jerry Kenny. Once again, thanks for joining us. In our weekly series Road Trip, radio producers from around the state take you on audio tours from the new Ohio Guide. This week, we'll explore one of Ohio's earliest roads.
Hi, I'm Scott Spears, and for this road trip tour, you'll be traveling with me along Zane's Trace, now Route 22. This is one of the earliest roads in Ohio. One of the original towns on the trace is Somerset, home to Civil War General Phil Sheridan. It was originally called Middletown because it was midway between Zanesville and Lancaster. David Snyder, Somerset resident, public speaker, and local historian.
The great thing about Somerset is it really fits that Jefferson ideal 200 years later. Zanesville became a manufacturing center, a powerhouse, and Lancaster and Chillicothe to lesser degrees, but Somerset remains closer to that Jeffersonian ideal.
That ideal of a nation of small farmer landowners can still be seen around Somerset. Somerset's town square features historic two-story brick buildings that have about anything you need. Go to the hardware store, eat, get your hair cut, and handle city business in what was the Perry County Courthouse, now Somerset's Town Hall. Somerset was first settled in 1803, and one of the first buildings built was an important part of a town along Zane's Trace. Author and historian Dixon Snyder.
The first two families that settled Somerset were brother-in-laws. That was Jacob Ditto and Jonathan Fink. He bought a half a section of land, and he built a log cabin. About a year or two later, he built what was called the Fink's Tavern, which was in operation for probably 40 years. It was a major landmark on the Zane Trace, and it was also served as the town courthouse, the jail, and the meetings, the township meeting halls, and anything else, even a schoolhouse.
Fink's Tavern is long gone, but the building that housed Miller's Tavern still stands at the corner of West Main and North Market Street on the northwest corner. Taverns were places for travelers along the Trace to stop for a meal or spend an evening.
The accommodations along Zane's Trace would probably not be very desirable by our modern standards. However, if it's raining outside you've had a long day on the road, you might be entirely comfortable in sharing a bed or sharing a floor space with someone that you knew nothing about. It was a pretty simple life, and most of us are not used to that kind of thing. Just imagine a 400-mile hiking expedition, and you carry it with you, or you have it in a wagon that you're dragging along behind you.
In 1807, traveler Fortescue Cummings wrote about his travels along Zane's Trace and about his stay at a tavern.
After supping at the inn where the stage stopped, I was shown to a bed upstairs in a barrack room the whole extent of the house, with several beds in it, one of which was already occupied by a man and his wife from the neighboring county, who both conversed with me until I feigned sleep. But I was soon awoke in torture from a general attack made on me by a host of vermin of the most troublesome and disgusting genii.
As you can tell, the tavern of the 1800s was not the motor lodge of today. Modes of travel have changed as well, but Somerset is still a destination for those who want to visit an historic town on an historic road. From Somerset, Ohio, I'm Scott Spears.
There's still more to see in Somerset. To hear the whole tour of Zane's Trace and other tours, go to seeohiofirst.org. The New Ohio Guide is produced by the Ohio Humanities Council, a state affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Yellow Springs resident Jonas Bender was recently awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for his service as a Montford Point Marine. He spoke with WISO's Wayne Baker about the trip to Washington, D.C. last week, along with 400 other Montford Marine veterans to receive the nation's highest civilian award.
Well, welcome. Glad to have you today. And I understand that you were a Montford Point Marine and you just got the Congressional Medal of Honor. Tell us what it meant, what is a Montford Point Marine, and about receiving the Congressional Medal of Honor.
The Montford Point Marines is a phrase that refers to the 20,000 black men who served in the U.S. Marine Corps from 1942 to 1949. It was a segregated training camp that was established solely for us as black men, because at the time we could not be participating in the main camp of Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. The other part of that is that the fact that we were in the Marine Corps was due to President Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1941, who issued an order that all government facilities would be open without regard to race and those other factors. However, it took another year, and he had to issue another edict that says the Marine Corps will enlist black men in the Marine Corps. The reason that was necessary in that there were no blacks in the Marine Corps between 1775 and 1942, when President Roosevelt issued his edict. The suggestion from Marine Corps generals at the time was that black men were not capable mentally or physically to be Marines, and that it would reduce the effectiveness of the Marine Corps if blacks were admitted. However, Roosevelt stuck to his guns and said that you will induct black men But he did yield on the fact that it did not mean integration into the Marine Corps. It took another 7 years between 42 and 1942 and 1949 for integration to come about, and that was pushed by President Harry Truman. Suggestion from Marine Corps generals at the time was that black men were not capable mentally or physically to be Marines, and that it would reduce the effectiveness of the Marine Corps if blacks were admitted. However, Roosevelt stuck to his guns and said that you will induct black men, but he did yield on the fact that it did not mean integration into the Marine Corps. It took another 7 years between 42 and 1942 and 1949 for integration to come about, and that was pushed by President Harry Truman. Now, those were two men who saw that there was a problem. Roosevelt did his part by saying we would be inducted, and after 7 years, when we proved ourselves that we were capable as any other individual to be a Marine, issued the order for integration in 49. That's the preliminary picture of what happened to us. We weren't wanted. We weren't expected to do well, but we performed nobly, including the combats that we were involved in. That's the story of the Montford Point Marines.
What was it like to have to train separately, get into combat separately, knowing that you had the capabilities? Can you recall how that felt and some of the incidents that, really was painful at that time?
It was crazy, just to put it that way, bluntly, that here we are capable of doing what was required. But the higher ups in the Marine Corps during that time said that we would only be what I call toters of water and hewers of wood, that is, the mainly grunt jobs, and that we just were not going to be involved in the full combat operations for which the Marine Corps is famous.
Having an African-American president now, what kind of thoughts did you have about that as you were getting the Congressional Medal of Honor?
It's almost indescribable when you recall what I've told you up to now, and to see that after 70 years of our activity, that the nation and the present leaders actually brought us to the point where we were getting the highest civilian honor that the Congress can give, that is, the gold medal. It brought tears to the eyes of all of us, and the sadness that the other group of men that served with us during that time were not there to share in it. But we remember them, and we continue to be pleased that there are 400 known black men who served as Montford Point Marines, were present, and that there were 20 others who, because of health conditions, could not be there. But that 420 men of that beginning group were there to be honored and to give recognition to us for what we had done.
I want to know if you had a chance to meet the president while you were in Washington, D.C.
The president had other matters on his agenda that day. In other words, the Affordable Health Act was coming up, and we did not get to see him because he did not come, but he sent a very great notice of appreciation for what we'd done, and it was read at the ceremony, which, because I understand what he's going through, that he had other things that he had to do, but I forgive him for that.
You've got a lot of good things in perspective. You didn't let the racism at that time eat you alive. It sounded like you just kept in the community, really trying to make it better for everybody. How did you avoid letting that racism create a bitterness inside you that just, you know, ate your heart and soul away? How did you keep a good perspective throughout all these years?
I had a very good training and atmosphere, having grown up in the Mississippi, about the evil that people do to each other through segregation and racism. But I also was wise enough to see getting bitter or hating does not solve it. In fact, being hateful and bitter compromises an individual's ability to effect change.
Well, thank you, Congressional Medal of Honor winner Jonas Bender, Montford Point Marine, for joining us today. We certainly appreciate your time and sharing with us the extraordinary story of your military history and your family life.
Welcome to Politics Ohio. I'm Emily McCord. President Obama and delegates for the Romney campaign were both in Ohio this week campaigning, and whoever wins the election will have to win the state. In fact, the results of the races in Ohio and other swing states could be even be more important this year because there may be a difference between the popular vote and the Electoral College. My guest today is Ken Bodie. He lives in Yellow Springs and has been a national political correspondent for NBC and PBS and a columnist with the Indianapolis Star. Welcome.
Thank you, Emily.
So you wrote an article this week regarding what could happen if President Obama wins Ohio and other swing states. What could happen is he could win the Electoral College, but not the popular vote. How could this happen?
How it could happen is that what's going on with our parties now is that they are digging deeper into their own bases so that the Republicans have the mountain states from Montana all the way down through Arizona. They pick up over at Texas and go through the entire South. In all of those states, they are going to run up huge majorities. The Democrats, on the other hand, have the eastern swing from Vermont and New Hampshire all the way down to Virginia, which is a swing state, and, of course, the West Coast. Now, the way it works for them to win the popular vote and lose the Electoral College is that the winner wins in the swing states by a small majority, but loses by large majorities in those big Republican-based states. Texas, a couple of million votes over what they need to win the Electoral College, just wasted votes. So all those votes count in a popular vote, but they don't amount to anything for the Electoral College beyond winning Texas electoral votes.
But couldn't it be that the president wins both the popular vote and the Electoral College where Mitt Romney does the same? I mean, how likely is it that that'll happen?
Well, it almost always happens that it works that way. But we're heading for what the political scientists call a wrong winner this time, where the Electoral College misfires and the Electoral College is awarded to the person who doesn't win the popular vote. It happened with Al Gore in 2000. It, in all likelihood, will happen with Barack Obama, because in those swing states that he won by single digits in 2008, states like North Carolina, Indiana, Ohio, Nevada, all those swing states that are now up for grabs are little margin states, small margin states, and they won't add much to his popular vote totals, but he'll lose hugely in the Republican-based states. So in all likelihood, Romney will win the popular vote. Obama will win the Electoral College. If he wins, that's the way it'll work.
So what does that mean for Ohio as being one of the swing states?
Well, it means a lot for all the swing states, because these states are the ones in the Midwest in particular, from Pennsylvania straight across to Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa. All those states are the states in which this election will be decided. That's why you see Romney and Obama presently focusing on Pennsylvania, Ohio, New Hampshire, and so forth. When this election is over with, you're going to see that huge amounts of time and money are going to be spent in these states. And if things go as they look like they are now, you're going to see an enormous amount of negative advertising just flooding the airwaves in Ohio. It's going to be an open fire hose of negativity.
Now, if the president wins this election, and it is indeed this outcome where he wins the Electoral College but not the popular vote, what will that mean for his presidency?
That's an interesting question, Emily. And I think you have to look at this in terms of the one other time in our lifetime that it happened, and that was the George W. Bush-Al Gore election. When the Supreme Court stopped the voting and declared the election over, Gore stepped up and said, okay, it's over. And if that happens with Obama, I will kind of be surprised, because there is much more animosity in the Republican base about this president than there ever was about Albert Gore. And I'm afraid that it will be an enduring thing, and certainly cost President Obama in terms of his mandate if he's a minority popular vote president.
Now, what about Mitt Romney? Could the same thing happen, that he would win the popular vote or win the Electoral College and not the popular vote?
It's very, very unlikely.
So Ohio has 18 Electoral College votes, and I'm just wondering, in the future, is Ohio going to remain always an important swing state?
Well, I think it will always be, as will be Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. Altogether, they have so many issues and population in common that they will that they have a lot of electoral power.
I've been speaking with Ken Bodie. He's been a national political correspondent for NBC and PBS. He writes a column for the Indianapolis Star. Thanks so much for being here today.
Glad to do it, Emily.
That's it for this week's edition of Why So Weekend. Thanks to all our guests. I'm Jerry Kenney. Coming up next on member-supported 91.3 WYSO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at wyso.org, The Book Nook.